You are now tuning in to the MPTE Clinical Files, two mock MPTE-based questions told and solved week by week. Thank you for tuning in to the MPTE Clinical Files. My name is Kyle Rice, the MPTE Prep Coach, the founder of the PT Hustle, and the creator of the MPTE Prep Success Coaching Program. And if you would like a free cheat sheet that goes along with this specific question, tune in to the end of this episode, and I'm going to give you more information on how to get that. All right, so for our next MPT clinical file, we have our patient Pearl. And Pearl presents with persistent idiopathic right shoulder pain and has been taking a high dose of Aleve for years. The patient currently complains of epigastric pain that improves with eating. Which diagnosis is the most likely present? So we have A, diverticulitis, B, chronic pancreatitis, C, cholecystitis, and D is peptic ulceration. All right, so let's go ahead, pop up to the top here where it says Pearl presents with persistent idiopathic right shoulder pain. So we don't really know where this is coming from. We know that Pearl has right shoulder pain. We don't know where it's coming from. It says idiopathic, unknown. All right, and it says that she's been taking a high dose of Aleve for years. Now, Aleve, you may know that under a different name, a different medication name of naproxen, right? It's a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. It's an NSAID, all right? And we know from medication pharmacology, that's the one thing that we harped on at PT school was a high dose of NSAIDs can tend to have, you know, really major impacts on your liver, but also your gastrointestinal system. So we know that high dose of Aleve for longer periods is going to be an issue here, all right? Now, it says the patient currently complains of epigastric pain that improves with eating, all right? And that's important, too, because, you know, not all gastrointestinal pathologies tend to improve with eating. And so we got to think about, well, why would eating improve the symptoms? All right, so that's something that we need to gel with for a moment as well and really think about why is that the case. And then the question stem, the last sentence of the question says, which diagnosis is the most likely present? All right, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to list out these answer choices again. A, diverticulitis, B, chronic pancreatitis, C, cholecystitis, and D, peptic ulceration. I want to go down each one of them and then also explain how we can eliminate using a lot of the information from the question. All right, so first one is diverticulitis. All right, so the one thing with diverticulitis is the fact that it's like it's a condition of the large colon, all right, or the large intestine, and it's these outpouchings. They call it ballooning of the intestinal wall, and it tends to get inflamed there. All right, so the one thing about diverticulitis, though, is that we don't really expect this to be consistent with the high dose of Aleve per se, all right? That's not really what's potentially causing this. A lot of times if we have increase in holding of gas or constipation or that type of deal, that could lead to diverticulitis. But it's not really consistent with the high dose of Aleve, and it's not really consistent with the epigastric pain that improves with eating either, all right? So I don't like that. The other piece is this. That diverticulitis tends to have pain that's in the mid-abdominal region. All right, it can also refer to the lumbar as well. Okay, do you hear epigastric there? Not really. I'm not really expecting that from diverticulitis. It just doesn't fit the patient's pain pattern. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and get rid of A for now. Let's go ahead and look at B. B says chronic pancreatitis. Is that consistent with a high dose of Aleve? Again, it's not consistent with that. The one thing about pancreatitis is, can we get the epigastric pain? Yeah, we can get epigastric pain. We also can get mid-thoracic pain. We can get lumbar pain with pancreatitis. But the right shoulder pain? Mm-mm. I don't expect that with pancreatitis, not in most cases. And the same thing for diverticulitis. Diverticulitis, do we expect to have right shoulder pain with that? No, I don't expect that. So already A and B, I don't like it. But this is the other reason I don't like B, y'all. Because chronic pancreatitis, 90% of the people that get that have been abusing alcohol for a longer period of time. 90% of the reason why this is occurring is because of prolonged use of alcohol. Is this what's going on with our patient? No. High dose of Aleve for years. All right. And so I'm going to go ahead and eliminate B. It just doesn't make sense here. Let's go to the next one. Cholecystitis. All right. So that's a long term for gallbladder inflammation. So again, is this consistent with the high dose of Aleve? Y'all see how I keep coming back to that part, right? That's really important. The high dose of Aleve does not, it's just not consistent with cholecystitis. I mean, the gallbladder could potentially refer to the shoulder. It could. All right, it could refer to the shoulder. It tends to refer to some other areas that are more likely, again, giving you that right upper quadrant pain. It can also refer to the interscapular area. Those are the major ones. But to have just straight epigastric pain and the right shoulder pain, it's just not consistent. And neither is the high dose of Aleve. All right, so I do not like C. Now, you've noticed that we have eliminated A, B, and C already. So now we got to look at D and make sure it is the right answer. It says peptic ulceration. Now, the one thing about high dose of NSAIDs is the fact that it is known to do two primary things. First of all, the coating of the medication can irritate the lining of the stomach, start breaking it down and creating sores. All right, so that's one thing. But the other thing that an NSAID does and prolonged use of it is it decreases blood flow in the stomach lining. Guess what decreased blood flow is, y'all? That's ischemia. Guess what happens after ischemia? Tissue damage. Guess what happens after tissue damage? You start to develop things like sores, ulcerations, and so forth. It just makes sense, right? So our prolonged use of NSAIDs are producing this peptic ulceration. Can the stomach refer pain to the right shoulder? You bet your bottom dollar it can. So it fits that part too, y'all. So it fits here. It fits the Aleve. The other piece is epigastric pain that improves with eating. Check this out. So the one thing that food does when you eat it is that it can provide a buffer situation. The food actually decreases the acidity in the stomach. Just think about a sore, right? And if you poured like acid on the sore, don't you think that would hurt? That would hurt a lot, right? So what if I did something that was going to decrease the amount of acid? It would make it feel better. That's exactly what eating does. Well, now it depends on the type of eating, because if you start to eat a bunch of oranges and citrus fruit and all these acidic things, yeah, it's going to make it worse. But there are a lot of foods that we do eat that would make it improved pain after we ate. All right. So that is the reason why we get epigastric pain that improves with eating, that is consistent with peptic ulceration. And peptic ulcer is our final answer tonight. Congratulations for those of you who got that one correct. It's not easy, baby. It ain't. It is not easy. Congratulations. For those of you who didn't get this question correct, possibly it was due to the fact that you just didn't remember all the specifics of these conditions. What is their referral pain pattern? What is actually causing them? Why do they improve with eating? Why do specific conditions improve with things like eating or get worse? Let me tell you a little something on the side. That cholecystitis, it actually gets worse with eating. It actually gets worse. The patient starts to complain of abdominal cramping after they eat, especially if they have fatty foods. So that's another reason why C wouldn't be right. So it's really important for you to dive into your differential diagnosis book by Katherine Goodman. Has a lot of this amazing information in there to help you dominate the MPTE. All right. But as always, I am not going to leave you with that, y'all. I am not going to leave you with that. What I'm going to do for those of you who are on the podcast right now, what I want you to do is check your show notes, click the link in there, because I'm going to get you the top cheat sheet that I have, the latest one that has the top five visceral pain patterns that you need to know and the reasons why they occur. My name is Kyle Rice, the MPT Prep Coach, and as always, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you on the next one. This episode of the MPT Clinical Files is brought to you by the NPTE Test Strategy Playbook. If you are constantly getting down to the final two answers but always seem to select the wrong one, visit destroythempte.com to learn how to get down to the final answer fast.